At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. We are back again quickly after Darren McAntony's interview with us the other night, and we recap that in full for a lot of this episode. So we talk a little bit about Donny O'Brien Brady, and I respond to Darren's rather pointed comments at me. We also talk about Archie Collins and Harley Mills and whether we're concerned about them going, whether we need another striker, and a lot more over that interview. There were so many little nuggets, and we reflect on a lot of that there. We also talk about Stamford and any takeaways from that match. We talk about the women's team, big news, which they announced this week. I was joined by Max, Del, and Harry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Right then, Harry and Max, you two were on last night with Darren McAntony himself. Talk me through your general thoughts on how that went, Harry.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. I've obviously interviewed Darren with you before, John, on Spaces on X, Twitter, back in the day, but this is my first time doing it throughout the podcast. Yeah, loved it. I always will think, first and foremost, that we should not take for granted that we have an owner who is willing to speak to fans directly, consistently, and always has done. And some people can bitch and moan about him saying things that don't happen or being too over optimistic. But frankly, that is a easy trade-off compared to having the level of access and transparency that we do with him. Yeah, enjoyed it. He was also really open, I thought. I think at the beginning, we asked a couple of negative questions back to back, and he got his back up a little bit. But after that, he was completely... he seemed like it was a good move for it, to be honest. And we got plenty of insights.
Yeah, well, I think one of the main sort of takeaways that I brought away from it was that Dara seems as optimistic and as full of fight as ever. Considering, you know, the season that we've just had and how poor it was, it seems he spoke a lot about family. He spoke a lot about sticking together. He spoke a lot about his management team and his players and how phenomenal that everybody's been morale-wise throughout this turbulent year, really. And that speaks volumes, again, of this vision that I think the club have got. We look at sort of the evolution of transfer or the contract lengths. We seem to have transfer targets that we're bringing in. You look at the, you know, Bass and Hughes are both League One level and we signed them for long-term contracts. Keller, there was a lot of positive talk around Keller and how good he could be. We've got him for long term, and that is just such a fantastic thing to see, that everything around the club at the moment, despite such a horrible finish last year, just feels so much more positive. And Dara echoed that last night. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Echoed Harry again. I really did enjoy that, and thanks to Dara for coming on.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic interview, by the way, lads. I know I'm a bit biased as I sit on the podcast with you, but I thought you all did a great job. And Dara himself was really open, as he always is, really. Like, it's a massive credit to him, as you said, Harry, that he comes on and does this sort of stuff. And he is willing and open and accessible. And I think that's great. Obviously, I took a couple of pelters in there. Ashley, I think, mainly to blame for that. He was under a bit of pressure, wasn't he? And his instinct was just to throw me under the bus and tell Dara that I'm the most negative one on the podcast.
You deserved it, John. You deserved it.
Some people probably totally agree with you, Harry. And I probably do. I actually don't think I'm that negative. I really don't. I think when I heard Dara talking about winning the league and how he thinks, basically, that he hasn't realigned any aims at all, I just don't see it. That's me. I do not see how we can call this squad a league-winning squad. We'll go into this in more depth, I'm sure, throughout the season, probably in our pre-season preview, so I'm not going to elongate the point. I don't think it's negative to say we can win the league. We can't win the league, sorry, when somebody says we can. I think that's... I'm arguing it's realistic. The other thing I got shit for was Donny O'Brien Brady. Look, I prefer Donny O'Brien Brady to Ryan de Havilland. Whether I see him as a League One starting midfielder, which for all intents and purposes does sound like he is going to be this season, probably not at the minute. I don't really see him getting to a much higher level than this. I don't really see him becoming a championship level midfielder. And look, Dara can say my judgment on players is terrible, but so is Huddersfield Town because they released him. So they obviously are aligned with my thinking more than Dara's. So those are my responses to those. We'll see who's right at the end of the season. And I sincerely hope it's Dara and we win the league and Donny O'Brien Brady is player of the season. And I will come on here and I will say, Dara, I was completely wrong. You are the man. You are a genius. Dara in forever.
Clip that chat.
Seriously, John, I'm fucking with Dara. I don't normally agree with Dara, as you probably know, but mate, you're the most negative one in the group. If anybody wants to see the fucking group chat, I know we can't do it for GDPR, but it might be something we could look at doing in the future. Fuck me. Oh, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to die. Get me out of this group. We're going down. Oh, we're going to be non-league. Mate, that's you all the time. Mate, Dara's got you summed up. He has probably got your number, mate. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, he has got your number, but, you know, he knows that John is the most negative in the group. And it's funny to watch, mate, to be fair. Just, I actually want to pick Dara up on something else because you said about nobody picked up the Brian, because we're going to call him Brian from now on, some of his passes. I actually picked up some of his passes, and I mentioned it on the last pod. You know, he did have some great sort of through balls. So, Dara, we did sort of mention that. You know, if I was on last night, I would have, told you about it. But, you know, I thought it was overall, it was a good show. I've got to be honest, it did start a little bit, Dara was a little bit sort of pissed off with us, wasn't he? You know, some of the questions we asked, and he come out all defensive, which is fair enough. But by the end of the show, mate, it was an enjoyable watch. There's some great sort of content to come out of there and some good sort of exclusives as such, but we'll talk about them in a minute. But some good points that we didn't know about. So good show, boys. Well done for being on, negative,
yeah.
John.
I think there were some exclusives. I don't think he meant to let slip about Keller being $500,000. Let's hope that one pays off, because it's a pretty chunky fee for a guy who's made almost no League One appearances. But equally, who are you finding who is, you know, potentially going to be your star midfielder and sold up to the Championship for anything less than about 300 these days? Like, the difference is fairly marginal. So we just got to trust that he knows, the scouting team knows what they've got on their hands here. And to be fair, he's looked pretty good so far in pre-season as Brandon Keller. I think as well, one last thing, is we're about to go to the insights and talk about them specifically. This was a good time of year to interview Dara as well, because you are not quite at the very end of last season where it's all raw and there's who's going to leave. What the hell are we going to do next year? The players who are going to leave have all gone. You know, maybe Collins will still go, but almost everything's done, outgoings, and a lot of what's needed is come in for incomings. So you've got this blank canvas. I think that phrase was used on the pod. And you get this chance to see more about where, as we said, his mentality's at, as opposed to him having to defend why we're 14th right now in December, if we interviewed him in December. If you get what I mean, it's much more about the strategic thinking for the club, which I think is a better conversation. It's a better conversation for us to have with him. It's better for the listeners than us challenging him on why Donny hasn't put in a performance that John likes.
Yeah, and just briefly on Keller, that fee, 500,000 that he announced, I completely agree. That was definitely one that he let slip And it is an extortionate fee. That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure, I think, to be $500,000 on Keller. Considering again, as you've said, he hasn't had a lot of League One experience. What I will say is that what really impressed me when we're talking about it is A, Darragh's refusal to speak about a player. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember a time that I've been following that Darragh has just physically refused to speak on a talent about how good he could be. That was something that surprised me, was that we really had to dig just to get anything out of him on Kelly. It was like, I'm just not. And what we got out of it in the end was that even he's got to calm Fergie down about how good he could be. So a lot of coulds, a lot of ifs, but if we've got him for four years plus one, haven't we? So in effect, we've got him for 5 years. We could have a really good League One midfielder on our books now. That is just going to develop and develop and develop. We're going to have him until he's 25, and we can sell him in his peak, or he could become a at that age, he could stay here for even longer than 5 years if you don't know what will happen. So that's going to be a really exciting transfer, one that I'm really happy about, and hopefully he can live up to that fee.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement that Keller is a very exciting signing, and potentially he looks good, doesn't he? Well, we've only seen 45 minutes of him twice, but he does look like he could be pretty good. But we were saying this about George Nevitt, though, over pre-season last season, and look how that one ended up in the league. So you never really know. One thing I did think was quite interesting, and maybe alarming is the right way to go about describing it, is the fact that there was almost quite a relaxed attitude, and I don't know if this is a front because he was obviously speaking in public, but about the lack of goals in the squad. Someone brought up last night that Hughes is one of the top scorers, and actually it's Hughes and Collins, I believe, are our two top goal scorers in League One. Both have got under 10 goals. I am massively concerned about that, and if that is genuinely the attitude of the club, that, you know, we'll get away with it with the wingers, I am a little bit scared of where the goals are going to come from this season. I think we're shifting into a 4-3-3, which is on paper a more defensive formation than the 4-2-3-1 anyway. You obviously sacrificed an attacking midfielder to play another central midfielder. So I do have my concerns over where the goals are going to come from. Is that fair? Look, you three are all telling me I'm negative. Are those comments fair? Do I have a justifiable reason to be concerned, or is the club right not to be worried about the lack of goals in the squad?
Well, I think it's fair to say, on paper, as Max likes to play football on paper, it don't look great. It don't look great that the fact that we've our top scorer is Sam Hughes. Was it Sam Hughes with 6 or 8? I don't know. But you say like 8
it's
is a Collins, top scorer.
Dale. It's Collins with 8.
Collins.
Hughes.
Collins Hughes then Hughes. But even so. So, you know, 14 goals between them. On paper, that don't look great. However, I have got the utmost faith that Big Bad Brad is going to be a man this year. I know people have been slating him off, and now I can't see fuck all in him. I don't like this. I don't like that. He's got a shit attitude. He ain't very good. Bullshit, man. If he gets his head into gear, right, which looks like he has been doing for the last few weeks, from the feedback we've had from Dara and Darren, I think Brad will be, you know, the man. It also looks like Brad, I know we've only had one penalty, but it looks like he'll be on penalties himself. I'm going to put my cap in the, what is the phrase you use? I'm going to say that Brad will score us 20 goals. I'm not saying non-penalties or others. Next season, he'll get us 20 goals. I'm going for it. If he carries on the way he's going, with his attitude, with his ability, fuck me, I have no qualms with that. But then you've got to look at the others. Who else is going to start producing the goals? We're all talking about our Chris Conn-Clarke. Fuck me, did he look trim the other night? Yeah, his touch is a little bit off. That's the whole point of pre-season, is to get that, you know, to get that touch going, to get sort of the confidence going. But he's looking trim. He's looking good. He's looking fit. We've got Hayes, you know, come back from that injury that he had last year. It's going to take him a couple of weeks to get back to sort of proper fitness and match fitness, etc. And, you know, they're all going to start chucking in a few goals. We've got, Ibi will score a few. You've got, what's the name, Frith? Is it free for Firth? Anyway, the new bloke begins with F. He'll get a couple. And also, we got Collins. He'll come in one and two if we've still got him. Plus, I could see Yart Hughes getting a couple from corners, because by the sounds of the... something I did pick up on with the interview last night is our set pieces, how shit we were at conceding and scoring from set pieces last night. You know, from a stat point of view, that's horrific. I didn't realise how bad we were. Worse than the whole football league, not just League One, the whole football league, including the Premiership. So, you know, we've worked on that by the sounds of it. We're going to get some decent crosses in, positional play. So the defenders, I think, will come up with a few. So where the goal's going to come from, I'm not really too concerned at this moment in time. You know, start of last season, we were banging them in and then they dried off. So let's see where we go. But I'm confident. So I will go, Brad, right? You can record this, you can do a short, you can do whatever you want, right? Brad will be scoring 20 goals next season. Hopefully it'll be with Posh.
You see, this is why everyone thinks I'm negative, because I want to see some proof. And everybody else on this podcast just says, Brad's going to get 20 goals. The bloke's not got a League One goal yet. And all of a sudden he's getting 20 goals. And then I'm negative because I want to see a little bit of proof on the pitch that there's someone's going to do this. Like, brilliant. He scored against Stamford. He's got a good pre-season deal in a behind closed door match. But it's wild to say he's going to get 20 goals. He's not got a goal in League One yet.
Might not have a goal in League One, mate, but he got us a goal that got us to Wembley. Have that.
I'm gonna come in on the lack of goals. And Dell says I like to play football on paper. I'm gonna throw the paper out the window for a second here. And look, I am usually deemed to be the great optimist, but just for a moment, speaking with some sort of logic, I definitely probably do agree with John to a degree. There is a worry about where goals could come from. I don't think Frith scored a goal since December or January in the league that he was playing in.
November.
There you go. Even further back, Leesby is obviously a raw talent that we've got to develop. Brad and Gustav have both failed to do it in the league. In the opportunities that they've got, obviously they were few and far between last season because we had Ricky. But you know, Dara seems to have full faith in Brad. And what Dell said, I completely echoed. He seems to be having a good preseason, and Dara says that he has got his mentality up to scratch, and he is going to start performing. And look, if he can carry the goals into preseason, into the league, then fantastic. I believe Wakeling had a very good preseason last year, and he didn't perform for us. So it's something that I'm not getting carried away by. One player that I did want to speak about, and one that Dara spoke about, was Kean Hayes. Now, this player, Dara seems to have a really positive swing on. He said in the interview that we did, he said, you know, if he could get out of his own head, we would have a really, really good winger on our hands. And again, we've seen glimpses of what Kean Hayes can do. I believe he cancelled all of his holidays over the summer to go back into rehab and get, you know, rehabilitate his injury. That's how dedicated Hayes was to coming back as quickly as possible. And the injury was nasty. We went to the awards dinner and he was in a boot and crutches in the awards dinner, and that was middle of April. So he's come back relatively quickly from the injury that he's got, and with sheer dedication. And that's something that I really want. And I'm sure Dell will agree with someone that's going to work and make sure that they're going to get back in. He's a player that I really think can score a lot of goals for us this season. And I think we're going to mention it when we talk about the players, because Dara said again in the interview how each position is up for a fight, and all the players are going to be able to push each other. Those two winger spots, I think we have a decent crop of talent around those, maybe not polish, but crop of talent. And we could see any of those four players, Frith, Hayes, Lisby, or Oddo, we could see all of them just take on the mantle. And for me, if I was to place money on one, Hayes would be the one I placed money on. He just seems to have everything, but maybe is a bit you know, in his own head about the way that he plays. So if that's something that he can improve on, I think we've got a real talent there. And we should be worried about the goals, but I do think that players have to earn that sort of, you know, we worry about the goals, but players have got to sort of prove to us that they can do that. But I also think we have to give them the opportunity to prove that they can do that. And I feel like saying categorically now, we need to sign somebody that's going to bring us goals in, I think is probably wrong, because I don't think these players have had the opportunity to show, well, the new ones anyway, have had the opportunity to show what they're about fully.
Yeah. It's interesting that Dara, I think he said specifically that with Hayes, it's to a certain extent on the club to get the best out of him. So I'm interested. That was an interesting part of the interview for me as well, was how, and we'll have to see it, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Can Darren Ferguson turn Hayes into the next Poku? That was a good chunk of the interview, and I thought that was a really interesting bit. Clearly, though, we talk about goal scoring. When we asked Dara about the transfers still to come, what pieces are still needed, he did highlight three areas that he wants. Interestingly, he reckons that, or not reckons, he told us that Fergie only wants two. But he said those positions are a centre-back, a centre-mid, and a striker. And I'm interested what you guys think about the answer he gave, particularly about the striker bit, because I couldn't help but think he was a little bit more reserved. He was very much happy to say, wants a centre-back. We'll get onto that later in this episode, I'm sure. But when it came to the striker, he said, and we're thinking about maybe an option up front. And I wondered whether there's a linkage there to another part of the interview where he talked about how essentially, we kind of put this answer in his mouth to a certain extent. A lot of positions on the pitch are open, except for maybe Bass and Hughes and Collins, if he stays. You could take anyone in the squad, I would say, and put them in the starting lineup for Cardiff. They just proved themselves. You bring a striker in, though, it's highly likely they will start. And so Brad and Gustav might be thinking, Dara wants to bring in somebody else, and where's my position going to be? I've worked hard in this preseason. Imagine if Gustav goes and scores in each of the next six games in preseason, even if it is against not very big size, except for maybe, you know, MK Dons will be a good test. He scores in all those games, and then we bring in a striker.
Yeah, I was actually completely in. I'm glad Dara wants three new players, because I think the centre-back, centre-mid, striker combination is three really important additions. And I would feel a lot more positive if we get them in and they're of a decent calibre of player, right? If you had a proven, not necessarily a proven League One striker, but I think a proven, you know, someone like Alex Bass was very good in League Two last season. You kind of know what you're going to get with him and that he's going to be decent at this level. If we can get the equivalent of that up front, and then you have a big man in Brad as like a secondary striker and a smaller man in Lindgren as a third choice striker, or whatever way you want to look at those two, I think the strike force looks a lot better. I'm concerned of it as it is, but I think if you get somebody else and those two are your rotational options, I think you go, yeah, that's fair enough. You've kind of got three decent strikers there that fit the roles that they're for. The concern for me comes with starting Brad or starting Lindgren as your main number nine. I think it's great that Dara's looking at a central midfielder, because I would be extremely concerned if we went with what we've got there at the minute. And actually, I think from what I can deduce from what Dara was saying, I think Fergie might be a bigger fan of Ryan de Havilland than Dara McAntony is of Ryan de Havilland. Whenever we talk about the midfield, he's always the one that kind of gets overlooked by Dara. It was noticeable, actually, in his interview with Posh Plus, that when he was talking about his midfield options, he didn't mention de Havilland compared to pretty much everybody else. And I actually think Joe Andrews has now kind of got ahead of de Havilland in that pecking order.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. He definitely does like his midfield more than the chairman. I think so. I think Ferg has got a really exciting young crop of talent in that midfield as well that we could really develop. I think Joe Andrews has looked quite good during pre-season. Dobby has looked good during pre-season. Ryan de Havilland has looked poor. He has looked poor during pre-season. And if we were going to bring a central midfielder in, I really do think that the two options to bring a central midfielder in is to sell Ryan de Havilland and replace him, or if Collins goes if Collins were to go, then we would have to bring somebody in to replace him. But we'll have to see on the Collins deal front what will happen.
I think bringing in another one in there is really key, and then bringing in another centre back I also think is key, because I think, again, what I kind of said about Brad and Gustav, I think with Oscar Valin, I'm not sure he's a star of League One. You look at his stats last season and they don't look good. They do not look good. And having him for 46 games is a real concern. But if we can get that Connor Taylor deal done, which, again, I found interesting that Dara didn't just rubbish it. He was very respectful, which I think there's a chance that he goes, yeah, we might have another bid at that towards the end of the transfer window. And I think if you look at Taylor and Hughes as a centre-back pairing, that's two good players. And that changes the whole spine of the team. And that changes my confidence levels completely if we make those three signings. So I'm really glad that Dara wants three more players, because that's exactly where I'm at now in terms of what I want done with the squad.
It's quite interesting. He was talking about Mills and Collins on the contract side. Is the fact that Collins is only a 70-30 about signing a new contract, which I was a little bit surprised about. Talking to Collins, it appears that he really wants to stay at the club. So, you know, something obviously has been done, whether it's money, whether it's finance, whether he's been swayed, I don't know. But, you know, 70-30, I'm not sure.
I should say, though, that 30% as well is the 30% chance of staying. The 70% is the 70% chance of going.
Correct. Sorry, I should have elaborated a little bit more, but that's why I'm a little bit so shocked with the 70-30 split, because he was really keen on staying when we were speaking to him a few times. And, you know, as Dara said, he don't give the club any hassle. He gets on with it. He seems like a good lad. So, you know, it'd be good if we could keep him. But then we've got, like, Mills, who I thought would be going because of, obviously, the his old man agent sort of holding back on the contract. Apparently 90% chance of staying. I'll take it, whatever. But it's just interesting what's going on. It'd be good to get them all signed up. You know, if they're going to sign, sign. If they're going to go, go. You know, everybody knows my opinion on players. If they go, they go. Right, I'm not interested. You're not a people I play anymore. We want people that want to play for us. So get a contract signed, either way. I've signed it or go. And then let me know what we've got. If Colin does go, 100%, I think we'll bring somebody else in. No doubt about it. Who it is, I don't know. But I'm going to stick up for De Havilland. I've always been a fan of De Havilland. He's not the best midfielder in the world, but there's just something about De Havilland. He'll come in and he'll do that job for us. He'll steady the ship. So for me, I would keep hold of him, you know. So I'm being Mr. Positive now. So who wants to have a go at me?
I don't want to have a go at you, Dale. I do. We know. I disagree on De Havilland, but maybe we'll see him play right back as you once suggested. Who knows? In terms of Collins, I am a little bit concerned, would probably be understating it. I think Dara is obviously in your camp of being very ultra positive. And if he is saying 30%, I think that number is significantly under 30%, which means I am now resigned to losing Archie Collins. I don't think he will be here come the end of the summer. For me, that is a major, major concern. I can't stress the importance of Collins to this football club and this team. And just in terms of the players that we know that can perform at the top of League One, is there anybody else you can categorically say that about in this squad other than Archie Collins? I really don't believe there is. I think it would leave a gaping hole in the squad. And I'm not sure we are financially able to replace him with a player of the exact same quality, which is always an issue for Posh, right? We've lost Kyprianou, we've replaced him with Keller, we've lost Poku, we're replacing with Frith. Now, the two replacements, to be on the level, it seems a stretch. I'm not sure they're going to be. So to lose another one and downgrade him, again, would be a massive concern. I am pleased about Mills. If there was one I was going to pick to choose, it would probably pick to stay, and one which I was going to pick to go, it'd probably be the other way around. Not because I don't like Harley Mills, but purely for the fact that I think Mills probably you get a little bit more money for, given his age. And two, the impact on the first team is probably reduced. At the minute, Mills is a good left back. I like him. I think he's got a lot of upside, but he's played 12 League One games in his career. If you take him out of the squad, it's not leaving the same hole as taking Archie Collins out of the squad. So I got half wish that Dara had said, yeah, 90% on Collins and 30% on Mills. But it's going to be another big, big sign. And if Collins does go, I think it's going to be almost vital to our season that we get somebody in of real quality if Collins does depart.
This is the point in the episode where I sit here and I say, if Archie Collins is listening, can he sign the contract? Pretty, pretty please. There is a slim chance of that happening. But Archie Collins is absolutely integral to this team. Completely agree, John. Without Archie Collins, we look insurmountably worse in midfield. Just based on the number of appearances he's made and how good he is in this system. My biggest concern is it all seems to be happening very slowly at the minute. I mean, it's 12th of July. What, we're 3 weeks away from Cardiff. We don't know what's happening with Collins. We don't know what's happening with Mills. We don't know. We sort of know where we need to improve, and everybody's aligned with that. I think fans, chairman, manager, we're all aligned on what needs to improve. But the contract situation can become very long and sour in the tooth if it doesn't happen quickly, because fans start, you know, crashing out on social media and going, well, why haven't they signed? Why haven't they signed? The management team want them to sign. The players are up in the air. It could be a little bit disruptive. Now, that is not me questioning Mills and Collins' characters, because I really do not believe by any stretch of the imagination, as Dara did indicate and imply, that either of them will cause any issues to the club in terms of disrupting the camp. I would not see the upside for Archie Collins to leave Peterborough United, because Dara has confirmed quite simply that no Championship clubs are sniffing around for him. He said that on the podcast. So no Championship clubs are sniffing around for him. So realistically, what he's going to do is he's going to do what Malik did. He's going to join a different League One side with a very similar project with the aims to get promoted. That's what Collins will do. To me, it feels like it just sidestep. Dara said that his wife has got a job in Peterborough. If that's the case, I can't see why he'd want to leave and sidestep to a different project. The only way that I could see Archie Collins making leaving for a sensible move, if finance isn't the problem, is if a Huddersfield or a Plymouth or a Luton come knocking, who are going to be up there fighting for automatic promotion. That's the only reason why I could see him, a sensible reason why he'd leave. Because if he stays, we're looking at Bass, a new centre-back, which will hopefully be League One standard. If it's Connor Taylor, he is 1 million trillion percent a really good League One centre-back, I believe. You've got Connor Taylor, you've got Hughes at the back, you have Collins and then the developmental side in Keller, but you've got Collins as your League One standard. Wingers, I don't think really we have one. I think that's an area that we not necessarily we've recruited poorly in, but we haven't had any proof that they can excel in League One. And up top's the same problem. But you see then, if we bring in a new striker in, you can see we slowly start to build a spine. And that is something that I really would like to see us do, is build a spine of proven or good players in those positions that have played in League Two or League One and have built up a plethora of appearances, score goals and are proven. That is what I think this squad most desperately needs.
Well, if he does leave, I think we're getting close to the end of summarising the interview with Dara. If he does leave, it's always important to leave with the club's blessing. And I think that the club absolutely does take care of players who do the right thing by the club. And he went to pretty decent detail without really naming names about when you fall foul of that. I mean, we asked him, we kind of glossed over Kyprianou. There wasn't really a comment on that. Briefly mentioned Poku going to QPR rather than Scotland. Darren mentioned he was stressed about him going to Scotland and then he stayed in England. And I think he was a lot happier with that. And he contrasted, not directly, because he said no comment on Ricky, right? So let's not put words in Dara's mouth. But when we asked him about Ricky, he quickly talked about the importance of treating the club like a family, gave the example of Harrison Burrows and how he did the right thing by the club, and he's welcome back whenever. In fact, we know that because Ashley was chewing his ear off at one of the games that he came to come see. I think it was Charlton at home last season. So If Archie leaves, do the right thing by the club in leaving. You know, if it may well be that we get a seven-figure bid and Dara might say, please go take this. Don't run down your contract and get us a, you know, a nominal training fee for you next summer, because we can actually do with the cash. That could happen if it's the right number for the club. But the real best thing to do, as Max says, sign the contract, put a release clause in it that's active after 1 year. So if it all doesn't work out this season, you can go for that move anyway that I'm sure he will have earned. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know which way it's going to go. If I had to guess, it'll be the last dregs of the running down contract situation. If I had to guess with Collins, he'll stay and then we'll leave for nothing next year.
Well, let's see. We'll have to wait and find out on that. One thing I want to mention before we move on. We've had two really generous donations this week to the podcast fund. So we just want to shout out Lou Daniels and Jake Ferguson. Your support for the podcast does not go amiss. We're all very, very grateful. So thank you very much. Anyway, moving on and back to Peterborough United matters. We had a friendly against Stamford. 1-6-0. Any thoughts, takeaways from the match, Harry?
It's always going to be a don't embarrass yourself situation against a team like Stamford. And that's no disrespect to them. But for 2 years running, we've done well. We've done what we should do. Obviously, quite a long run in the second half of not scoring, although I appreciate it was, you know, essentially a rotated team after the first half. I was obviously happy with the amount of set pieces we scored, that you would love to see that be replicated against better teams. You hope it's not just a feature of Stamford, they cannot defend a set piece. And my, you know, the last linkage to the Dara interview, I agreed with Dara that, man, in that position, Gustav should have shot. I hope he comes away from that. He may think in his head, I got the team a goal. I don't care. I'm not changing the way I play because it was the right thing for the team. But there's also an element, I think, that you're a striker who needs to get the shooting boots on now pretty quickly, especially when you start the new season, and get that practice in. Get that practice in and take shots against some of these poorer teams. Again, poorer, not to be disrespectful, but these teams that are in lower leagues to us, we've got several coming up, whether he plays against Peterborough Sports or Kings Lynn or Boston. If you're in that position again, Gustav, take it. Don't lay it off to somebody else, I would say.
Yeah, just to expand on that point quickly, Harry, because the ball ended up in the back of the net, but if you imagine Johnson Clark-Harris in that situation, or Dwight Gale, or Britta Sombolongo, all these players that have scored so many goals for us, they shoot. They don't even see Chris Conclark there because they back themselves to be the one to get that goal. And if he is going to make it, he has to shoot in that game. Darren made a good point. If it's the 90th minute of like a massive game, get the guaranteed goal, you don't mind it so much. But in a friendly, when you're 5-0 up, that, for me, is a concern that you're not backing yourself to take that shot under pretty much zero pressure. So, yeah, that's clearly an area of concern and something that Lindgren probably needs to... Look, you want your goal scorer taking shots there, don't you, ultimately?
I'm sure a lot of you won't be surprised to hear that I struggle to make out who's who. With no numbers, no names on the back of the shirts. Fucking hell, come on. It was hard. Spend a couple of quid putting the names and numbers on the back, right? Come on, Melks, get a grip of yourself. So, you know, obviously the regulars who are new, you know, it was great to see, as I've already alluded to, or maybe not, I can't remember, Chris Conclark looking proper slim, you know, proper fit, proper up for it, fair play to him. Brad coming back with a smile on his face, not that he's never had a smile, probably that is his problem, he smiles too fucking much, but, you know, he's smiling, he looked good when he was on. Hayes was out there. Some good performances. We've already mentioned about Brian. I love it. Brian doing, you know, a couple of free balls and a couple of decent bits of play here and there. But for me, you know, relevant are the results, the performance. Pre-season is about meeting old friends, meeting new friends, you know, just catching up with people that you see, you know, your football family, and everybody knows what I mean. You got people that you relate to at football, and you know you look out for, and it's great catching up with people. Like some people I've not seen for a while, probably over a season. For whatever reason, they've not been there, but they're starting to come back again now, and it's great. It's great to see people out and about, and for me, friendlies are that type of thing as well. And I'm going off on the tangents, but it's all about it. It's all like the football family. As for the football, you know, 1-6-0, which was great. They need to get some more kiosks because they had to wait for ages for a cup of tea. But, you know, apart from that, great day out. 1,700 people there. You can't really grumble, mate, can you? Or can you?
You absolutely can't grumble, Dale. Just talking about the game again, I think it's important that, look, pre-season you can't read too much into. But I think it's important that we mention players that have probably impressed us today. Is that fair enough? I think Bradley Ivonian is the standout man of pre-season. And although we haven't seen the game today, he scored against Ipswich, which is great to see. But also his pressing has been really good. And that's something that, actually, I don't know if it was an area of the game that he needed to work on, but clearly it's something that Fergie wanted him to work on. And it does look like he is really grafting, which is good to see. Keller's someone that's caught my eye already. I think George Nevitt's had a credible preseason so far. I think it's worth mentioning him. I'm not saying that I particularly want him starting at Cardiff away, given what we saw last season, but I do think his performances have been pretty good so far. And in both games, I've been more impressed with the first half team than the second half team. They've included different personnel both times. But I think the first half teams have generally looked more impressive. So I would say those three are, for me, are the key stars of pre-season so far.
Just though, really quickly, just to bring Brad up, is that 3 goals in 2 games? I know it's only friendlies. I don't care. 20 goals next season, that man's going to score. Right? I'm putting money in it.
Well, yeah, get down to bookies, Dale. A nice little each-way bet on top goal scorer. I'll probably return some decent odds. Another thing worth mentioning is Mic'd Up, which was on Posh Plus at the same time as Darren McCantney Live. So obviously everybody was watching Darren McCantney Live on Up the Poshcast. But I did go back to Posh Plus and watch their content. And actually, I thought it was quite interesting. I really like the Fergie Mic'd Up. What I did find very interesting is Kevin Russell may well be the signing of the summer. If you watch the video, the amount of talking Fergie does with Russell throughout the game on just like observations and Rooster saying stuff to Fergie and things they pick up on was really, really interesting. Clearly trying to coach Donny O'Brien Brady into the role a lot, which I found interesting. They were trying to get him to drop and make a free in defence for the build-up play. There was a few interesting little nuggets in there. And yeah, just it struck me instantly that connection that Fergie had with Rooster. And I do think that will be very, very good for us on the training ground. Now, moving away from the men's team, there's some big news with the women's team, who are going to be moving to Pimm's Park as their new home for the new season. I think we all agree it's good news. We were speaking about it a few times on the pod and bringing the team back to Peterborough. So, Dale, do you want to talk me through your reaction to that news?
Just really quickly, I actually don't mind watching women's football. People know that I've been all over various places, watching England, watching whoever, Chelsea, whatever. And I've always said, if Peterborough women come to Peterborough, I will go. You know, I'm not prepared to go all the way up to Bourne. If people know where I live, it's like it's an hour for me. So now they're in Pimm's Park, a great little ground, to be fair. Looking forward to it. Not too sure what the price of the entrance is. I bet it's about £7. Maybe a little bit steep, but £7, you know, to go and watch some decent football. And also, you know, a new sponsor they've got as well. So there's a lot of investment going in there from, people may know, Next Level Barbell Club, a sponsor on the shirts, looks very nice. So a little push there for you. I'm looking forward to watching the women. No doubt about it. They'll play on a Sunday, so that's my weekend sorted. Saturday, Peterborough, Sunday, the women. So let's just see a few of you down there. Give them a bit of support. We've all been harping on about getting back to Peterborough. They are in Peterborough. Let's go down and watch them. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait. And I think we've got a friend. Is there the first friendly is against Birmingham under-21s sometime early August. So, yeah, it'll be nice. And we hopefully throughout our season, we'll be doing a lot more interaction with the women. So Let's see what happens.
Well, we have a busy week with another three friendlies for the men's team. Max, you're going to all three, aren't you? So talk through who we're playing, because I have forgotten.
So it's Boston on the Tuesday. It's Kings Lynn on no Peterborough Sports on the Tuesday.
I'm gonna let the audience into something here. I have put it in our private chat who we're playing, and Max still got it wrong.
No, oh.
So read it, Max.
It's Peterborough Sports on the Tuesday. It's Kings Lynn on the Friday. It's Boston on the Saturday. Yeah.
I'm going to all three. Imagine if you've gone to Boston on Tuesday, Max.
Yeah, imagine that, Harry. It would be an absolute nightmare. I show up at Boston, which is about an hour and a half from my house. I show up there, I'll walk into the ground. No one's playing, I'll be fuming. It's a busy week, but this is what I really did want. After a season like last season, the one thing you want to do is watch your players run and run and run and get those fitness levels up. And this preseason schedule just actually look very intense. Now, obviously, I presume we'll do what we did when we played Peterborough Sports and Bedford on the same day two seasons ago, where I very much doubt we'd see the squad. We'd split the squad in half for Kings Lynn and Boston, I presume, considering they're the 2 days after. I would be surprised if they all travel down together, but I think we'll see a squad split. And you're going to see, we might see a very similar format where we're playing 11 with a few substitutes for 90, very similar to how a game would actually pan out. That would be very exciting to see, because I think, I don't know which side would be favoured, but it is going to give us an idea into what Cardiff could look like if that is the plan. Again, three games that I really do hope we go and grab by the scruff of the neck and we keep scoring goals. We keep this sort of, you know, we scored six against Stamford. Can we do a similar thing? Can we go and score more goals? Can we score 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, however many we need, get this attacking rhythm and integrity right and go really go for it at the start of the season? I mean, these are the last non-league games before we take on MK Dons, Colchester and Grimsby. So the opposition is going to begin to ramp up. This will be our last opportunity to really get that attacking morale and defensive morale super high before we go and start facing some League Two opposition.
Well, I think I've worked out that if Max is turning up to the wrong grounds regularly, it does explain many of his footballing opinions. And on that note, that is the end of this episode. We'd love to hear from you in the comments. What is Donny O'Brien Brady going to do? Is Bradley Ovonian going to get 20 goals? And can Peterborough United get into the top six? The other thing, we are really close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube now. We're closing in on that number. So if you are listening and you aren't subscribed, please, please click that subscribe button. It would mean loads to us. We want to get to 1,000 and then we want to get to 5,000 and then we want to get to 10,000. So we've got big aims and hopefully we will achieve them. But thank you again, everyone, for listening. Up the Poshcast.
Up the
Poshcast. Up the
Poshcast. Up the Poshcast. How have I caught strays 2 weeks running? This has to stop. This has to end. I can't do it anymore.